Just go like this and a touchdown. Oh, I can see Halo right now. So, 1 Kings 21. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words, and I thank you for this time that we set aside for this, and sure would appreciate if folks that come on Sunday morning would give it a try. I know some of them drive so far, but still, give it a try. I just pray you'd help us understand your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I drove over to Tim's from my house. That's an hour and a half. So, drove from farm country all the way through city stuff, 80, 94, city, and then farm about by where he's at. Nice place out there. Beautiful trees. Beautiful leaves. Okay, there's many approaches to the Bible or applications. Often there's a dual application where something's going on right at that time, but then it's picturing something in the future. Doctrinally, Naboth would be a type of the Lord, Jesus. Ahab would be a type of the Antichrist. So he's one of several people in the Bible who are pictures of the Antichrist. And then Jezebel would be a picture of Mystery Babylon the Great. Jezebel is mentioned in Revelation 2, so this all comes up again. So that's the doctrine. Historically, this is how governments or people in government positions confiscate people's property. And it's a real deceptive ploy. So that's that. So we've got doctrine, and then we've got things going on there. Spiritually, there's a thing called a Jezebel spirit. That's where a woman has this domineering spirit, and she will manipulate and control a man, and Ahab's spirit would be a cowering spirit. So that's kind of in spiritual warfare where information of Jezebel's spirit, if you get on YouTube, it's mostly the charismatics talk about it because they're infested with Jezebels. and then the same with Ahab's. And that's the thing about the new Bibles that I did just briefly mention this morning, that these new Bibles are effeminate. They feminize the preachers. And it's a shame where you got these older guys and now pass it off to scene like John MacArthur and Chuck Swindoll. Well, I mean, they gave a decent message, but they grew up under the King James Bible. That's where they got their doctrine, but they don't give that blessing to their students. And then their students walk out of there confused. So, yeah. So, okay, last week we worked a little bit on this. Okay, let's see. Got down to verse 5, I suppose. So Ahab, to get the storyline, we'll just read it. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So this is up north. And remember, the kingdoms have split. So you get to 10 northern and the 2 southern. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard. Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. Why would you change it? Why would you just keep it as a vineyard? But he's going to change it to a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give it thee for a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give it thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So this is part of the Jewish heritage, the inheritances, the lots that were given out in Joshua. I don't understand all that stuff. I don't understand the Jewish calendar either, how that works. I know it's on the lunar cycle. And so then Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. So he's pouting. He's pouting because he didn't get his way. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. He laid it down from, he laid down upon his bed. Boy, he is really pouting. Turned away his face and would not eat. He would eat no bread. So he's a spoiled brat. Entitlement. And that's you know, where America's at. And, you know, this thing about the, what is it called, scab or scat or scum? Chat, snap. I want to think it's scabs. 1 in 8 people are on that stuff. Man, I like the idea. I saw one kid's video. He said, man, if we're evolutionists, and if you can't survive just because you don't get snap, you're part of the weaker species, so you need to go away. I thought that was a pretty good analogy. Okay, now, and Jezebel, his wife, came to him, and she's a manipulator, evil woman. Said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth, Jezreelite. Said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee thy vineyard. And then Jezebel's wife said unto him, dost thou not govern? Now that's the first time the word govern is found in the Bible. So govern, and then you stretch it to government. And people have a funny, like a hypnotic thing comes over them when you say government. The government says this, you know, and all that stuff. And some will say Hoffman's anti-government. I think if you're anti-government, you're sane. You know, as far as that goes, sure, we have the right proper government, but... I mean, if I'm going to go up to Gary and somebody's going to whip out a gun, I'm going to do what I can to stop the theft. But you can't stop the theft from the professionals in government. And then if you ask people, define government. What is it? What is government? And they say, well, you know government. No, you can't use the word to describe it. It's people. That's all that it is. It's people. And people think they have a right. And this Mondami in New York City, oh man, that dude, I'd love to take him, you know, have him go on a back alley without police protection. Same with a dude in Chicago. Okay, but then here's what she says. Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I will give. How does government give? They have to steal it from somebody. Okay, George Washington, you know, our first president, said government is like a fist, and the only thing that government can do that's legitimate is to defend. And that's what a fist does. It's all meant for defense. And then when you open up your hand to create something, that should be left in the private enterprise. The private people create things. And if you put that in the private enterprise, free market, man will figure out a way. People say that's based on greed. Yeah, but that's an incentive. Okay, but man will figure out a better way and a cheaper way than any government program. You go with education, you go with highway department, you can go with anything. Man will figure out a better way and a cheaper way. Okay, and government is always making things confusing, and it always costs 100 times than it should. Public schools in Iowa, I think last time I'd heard, they had, well, this is several years ago, it was costing about $4,000 per student per year to educate the kids in Iowa, and they had the highest SAT scores in the country. And then in New Jersey, it was costing them $10,000 per kid per year, and they had the lowest SAT scores in the country. And, of course, when they want to raise taxes for education, nobody objects to that. Why? It's because the Greeks, Gentiles, seek after knowledge. And that's why. But if you put it in a free enterprise, okay, with no strings attached, it will be done cheaper, more efficiently, and much better. And that can be in any realm. You can do to the post office. You may not know this, but the post office is one thing and a postal service is another thing. Two separate entities. Post office is constitutional, postal service is a corporation. Two separate things. And then if you go with UPS, a private company, you know, obviously things are done more efficiently. So there's two things government cannot give anybody unless it steals it from somebody, and that's rights and riches. So rights and riches. So if the girls want their rights to play in a boys' sports, they have to take it from the boys. Okay, if the guys want to play in a girls' sports, that used to be a real taboo. You know? They have to take it from the girls. Women rights, in order to do that, you have to take it from somebody. So when anybody asks or demanding equal rights, they're not demanding equal rights, they're demanding for special favors. That's what they're demanding, special favors. So, and to go with riches also, is that government creates nothing. It's free people in a free market create jobs. Okay, and so that's two things. But it's just amazing to me, you know, people, these people just vote for these socialists and everything. If you think it's right for them to go rob somebody for your benefit, then you go rob them yourself. Do it on your own accord instead of somebody else doing your dirty work. And they're just wanting something for nothing. Now, that's the real tricky thing is because of fiat currency, it's just so much of a facade. And, of course, that's all meant. So Jezebel claims she's going to give something. If you go to Proverbs 23, this is what a king wrote. Proverbs 23. This is the Bible that this church gave me in 1987. Kind of fall apart. This is what Solomon wrote. Okay, Proverbs 23. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what's before thee. So sitting there thinking, oh, what's before me? Lion, bear, leopard, beast of prey. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. The evil eye is found three times in the Bible, and the evil eye is in the back of our Federal Reserve note. That's the secret societies, that's the Jesuits, that's the Freemasons, okay? That's the Club of Rome. I mean, it's endless, all the conspiracies. So the evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So they're just a bunch of liars. And this, you know, government shutdown things, it's just amazing how these people have no conscience, none whatsoever. A government shutdown, they should stop paying the congressmen and senators first. And somebody did propose that to hypocrite Bernie Sanders. And he says, oh, we have some young congressional people that couldn't handle that. What about the other people? Yeah, that Bernie is a real snake. So this here's a Bible pattern. This is the first time the word governed was found in the Bible. And it's somebody taking something from somebody else forcibly at the end of a gun. And so why shouldn't we be careful about those things? So she wrote letters in Ahab's name. So what is that? That's forgery. Sealed them with his seal. Deception. Sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city. The nobles, that's the lawyers. That's the title of nobility. Okay, I don't know if you've ever seen the original 13th article to the Constitution. The original one. The first one. In the 1840s and 50s, the states ratified the 13th article to the Constitution, where the titles of nobility was forbidden in America. And that was title of nobility is a statement against attorneys. An attorney is a member of the bar, the British Accepted Registry. So I found a history book that had it in the 1850s, and somehow it mysteriously went away. And then now we have the 13th article about the against slavery. Somebody pulled that out of history and then just threw this other one in. And no doubt it was an attorney of some type. Titles of nobility. Okay, elders. Okay, that were in the city dwelling at, with Naboth. So they were the leadership in the area. And then she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast. Oh, isn't that spiritual? And that's the thing. If you're going to steal somebody's property, you got to make, you got to figure out how to get the high ground. You know, I bet the Lord was so confused during the Civil War. Who do I answer prayers for, the South people or the North? They're both praying for victory. You know, and who? And of course, the Lord, you know, he followed through on whatever he needed to do. So proclaim a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. So this is a pattern. Get the rabble-rouser out in public. And everybody's looking at the rabble-rouser, and he's all by himself. And then people get against him. So that's how that works. And so he feels he's alone, and he's against everybody. And this is often happens when you have a controversy, or when you have eminent domain, or when you have somebody trying to take property that doesn't belong to them, and somebody's resisting. If this person gets out in the lead and resists, when it gets into a court battle, people will flock away, they will leave, and this person's standing alone holding a bag. So that's what my dad experienced. Many years ago, when Apple Valley's coming in, he and Uncle Paul and John Bryant were three farmers trying to shut it down just because they didn't want it in the community. And all of a sudden, here comes a lawsuit. Everybody left, and those three got stuck with the bill. And then it comes in. So you just express your opinion on these things, and you just got to see what happens. But yeah, that's what happened. Now, then what Jezebel is going to do, she's going to make it more spiritual, shall we say. And then she says, she wrote in these letters and set two men, sons of Belial, that's another name for an alias for the devil, Beelzebub. Two men, does that ring a bell with the two false witnesses? So that's typology of Christ. So set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness. And what they need to do is they separate those two witnesses, and then interrogate them, and then their witness is obviously going to contradict. But in this case, they're not going to do that. Bear witness against saying thou did, and saying to bear witness against saying thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Boy, that kind of sounds like. Man, putting a king as a religious dude. That is blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Of course, we got murder, government murder, CIA, FBI, whatever. Okay, and so if a person reads what's Perkins' book's name? The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Okay, he's got three editions now of the book. This guy goes back in the 60s where they go into a foreign country, promise all this money to build their infrastructure, and then borrow a servant to the lender. And then when these political figureheads are calling their debt in, if they don't follow through, they'll call the debt or they'll have a regime change. That's what happened with Noriega and Ortega. And I think you remember Nate Saint, Ecuador, the missionaries that got killed. He wrote a small paragraph in his book about that. He was a part of Ecuador, and that the thing that triggered those natives is that the oil people were coming in trying to get the land from the natives, and they saw these missionaries. They didn't see these missionaries as trying to benefit. They saw those missionaries as trying to confiscate the property. And that's what this economic hitman said. He's kind of telling his life story because it's after the fact, but boy, a lot of evil takes place in that. But it's an interesting read. I mean, he's been all over the place, and he shows how government, but certain individuals will get in and then have a regime change. So it'll make you a totally different viewpoint of foreign policy when you read that. And then when you look up the Project for New American Century, that's the neocons in the late 1990s that put Bush as president, Cheney as vice president, and then Rumsfeld. And the day before the 9/11, Rumsfeld announced that the Pentagon has lost like $2 trillion. Just can't locate $2 trillion. How do you lose $2 trillion? And then the next day is the towers came down, and everybody forgot about the loss of money. And that was Rumsfeld. So, yeah. So when you kind of read that stuff, everything's set up as just as what the Lord wants, a one-world government. And sooner the better, that's right. So Jezebel is charging him with blasphemy, so that's a type of the Lord Jesus, and they stone him. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent them. And as it was written, the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Wow. And there came in two men, children of Belial, sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against them, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. So they villainized him. And that's why they villainize people, because they feel justified in killing somebody. And that's the whole purpose of villainization. That's, you know, why the media keeps saying this about Trump and Charlie Kirk and all these people. And when people get caught up in that, boy, it's a tough thing to overcome. So that's a church-state system. Of course, the Catholic Church did all this through the Inquisition. But thank the Lord, the Pope apologized. And that really helped everybody out. But, yeah, they've been doing this for years. So, okay, then sent Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. So who is held accountable for this? Ahab and Jezebel and the people who did not, who got caught up in a mob scene. They're all held accountable. You know, I don't know how that's going to play out in the millennium, or even at the White Throne Judgment. So verse 15, it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And of course Ahab was saying, oh, really? How'd he die? You know, that now the inheritance should have went to his family, so I don't know how they finagled that. But these people are not getting away with this. The Lord is keeping an account. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Okay, so Ahab's sins involved here were covetous, forgery, perjury, murder, and thievery. That's all the sins involved. Now, 17. Now, here comes Elijah to declare judgment on this guy, and they're not going to get away with it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. So he said that back in chapter 17, but then he had his downtime in chapter 19. So he's back up on top now. He's ready to go now. And he knew right where he was. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth. Notice, still Naboth, according to God. Whether he's gone down to possession. Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and hast taken possession? You're responsible. You may not have thrown a stone, but you're responsible. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. There you go. He's gone to the dogs. And then Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Of course, that's how he feels about it. And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. So this is judgment brought against the king and the queen, and they're not getting away with anything. And so it amazes me, like in Australia, a couple of the people in the church, you know, talk about the royal crown. And people in England talk about the king and queen, the crown. I see them people as the biggest welfare recipients in the world. They don't do anything. They just got born into it. But it's amazing how people feel that way. So in verse 21, he said, behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity and will cut off from Ahab him that, there you go, against the wall. So that's the boys. That's what boys do. And him that is shut up and left in Israel. So he's going to kill all his sons. So there's going to be nobody left there. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Now he knows who that is. For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. You've provoked me, you've pushed me long enough. And now I'm going to nail you. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now, this is 1 Kings 21. Now, Ahab gets it the next chapter, but Jezebel don't get it until 2 Kings 10. So I'm sure she thought that God had forgotten about it. But it's way in the 2 Kings 10 is where she gets it. So she ruled all that time without him. Now, the idea there, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And notice the details of it. And so the last judgment of God to a person, the last insult he doesn't allow them to have a decent burial. There's something about, you know, a burial where you have closure. And so when she gets ate by the dogs, it's she's just like an animal. So, yeah, we moved my dad to the cemetery that he gave, so he's first customer. And I'm putting grass seed on it on Saturday, I think, Friday. And it was like I could hear my dad saying, son, you need to put lime on too. So today I went out there and I brought some lime and sprinkled lime all over it. Because it make the clay a little softer. I could just hear, now make sure it's high cal lime too, you know, not dolomite. I'd heard Dad say that so many times. But yeah. So then it says, 24, him that dieth of Ahab in the city of the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. So you have strictly for the birds is one common saying, and she's gone to the dogs is the other common saying. And that's the real final P.S. slap in the face judgment is they don't get a decent burial. So, and then he says, 25, there was none like an Ahab which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Okay, how would he sell himself? Well, I would say he had an appointment with Lucifer. And he says, if you want such and such, then you need to offer me some. I will promise you wealth and fame and fortune if you give me such and such. And he's selling himself. And this is what people do. This is what famous celebrities do. This is what politicians do. They have some sort. Remember that in the three temptations of Jesus, one offer was, if you bow and worship me, I'll give you the world kingdom. So the implications are in that if somebody gets world power, they have cut a deal, a secret deal somewhere with Lucifer. And the same goes in the religious world. I mean, the Pope and company, I mean, if you see a picture of where the Pope sits, man, it looks like a snake head coming out there. And yeah, they cut a deal with the devil, and so he sold himself. And then in verse 26, and he did very abominably in following idols, because that goes along with it. According to things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And that would be back in Genesis 15. But here is amazing thing about the Lord. 27, it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. So he knew Elijah was telling the truth, and he knew it was going to happen. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. In his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. He's not getting away with anything. He's delaying the punishment. And the verse 29, the idea is, it shows the importance of humility in God's eyes. I mean, this guy is a wicked dude. But he humbled himself here, but he still didn't get out of it. You know, David humbled himself and confessed his wrong, but he still had to reap what he sowed. And so that's an amazing thing. That one there, plus with Manasseh is the other guy, is amazing. Now, some folks will say stuff like, you know, how can God forgive somebody like that? They're getting away with it. They're not getting away with anything. And the victims involved, they're going to be rewarded anyway. And so it's just that we don't see that white throne judgment. We're going to see everything at the white throne judgment. And then we're going to see, now I see why you were silent for so long. I see what's going on now. And we will just praise God for his holiness and his judgment. So, okay, 2 Kings 22 is quite extensive. So we'll stop there and we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us to understand your words. And I just pray you'd help us to draw closer to thee as a result of this time. In Jesus' name, amen.